You're watching The State of Play, your quick fire roundup of all things Irish football and beyond. Hill's gone, apparently no manager until the summer. Could it get any worse for the FAI? Find out on The State of Play. David Dunn here, joined by Martin Prendergast. And as always, if you like what you see, love what you hear, hit that subscribe button, scan that QR code, head over to our Facebook, Instagram, and our Twitter. And if you want opinion, head over to lansdowneroar.ie. That is lansdowneroar.ie. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of opinions bandying about, because yet again, we've had another fantastic day of Irish international football, haven't we, Martin?
Yeah, an interesting day, but a day that we thought, for many of us, I think we thought was going to come, to be honest. There's been a little bit of speculation in the background that Jonathan Hill wasn't going to continue as CEO. We saw the Oireachtas committee meeting and his performance there, and we saw and heard rumours of, you know, certain members of the board not very impressed with his kind of end of his tenure, it turned out to be. So I think it was something that was coming, perhaps not so soon, especially with the speculation that we're looking to get a manager appointed. And
we knew there was going to be a big announcement this week from the FAI. We didn't expect this. Now, we knew it was coming, but we didn't expect this. Let me just read out, for those of you somehow unaware, the email that was sent out by the FAI. So about 11:15 a.m. on Monday, the FAI sent out this press release: Jonathan Hill to depart his position as CEO of the FAI. The board of the FAI is today announcing the departure. And they go on about how he joined the FAI as CEO in November 2020 and has been at the helm of the association for the past 3.5 years. They just basically go on how he joined the association during a difficult time in the heart of COVID-19, and he helped the association navigate an extremely challenging period. On behalf of the board of the FAI, I want to thank Jonathan for his hard work and dedication over the past number of years and wish him well for the future. We have an interim CEO. That's Mr. David Correll.
Correll.
He's now the interim CEO. I'm just going to show you a picture of him there. Where is he? There he
fine
is.
Fine Mayo man.
He looks like he played a bit of Gaa back in the day. And yes, they've said about Mr. Correll, the FAI are pleased to announce the appointment of David Correll, or Correll, as interim chief executive officer. And he is currently the current COO, the chief operating officer, and he has been since February 2022. He's from Castlebar. I think he's worked with the FA as well. Martin, you've got a little bit of a background on him. You've met the man, haven't you?
I have met him, yeah. I met him before the Euro 2020 final, which took place in 2021, didn't it, Wembley, the farcical match.
Yep.
I met him down in London before the final. I went down, fortunate enough to meet up with a few people like Paddy Bonner and Jerry McEnany, who was the president, Noel Mooney, Gary Spain. A few of us went down just to kind of catch up with them because we knew they were over on kind of risk London business, I suppose, supporters kind of business. But yeah, got introduced to David Correll then, and what he was actually doing then, I think it was UEFA. There was a feasibility study from UEFA and working with the FA, the Irish FA, the FAI, the Welsh and the Scottish, to see would there be, it was a feasibility study basically, I think, that would they be able to co-host a World Cup bid 2030. That was something that he was looking at doing. But yeah, really nice guy. Obviously, we knew that he was working for the FA at the time, but Noel Mooney as well was with us, and we were just saying how Irish people were very highly involved in the administration of it within UEFA and the FA, and it was good to see, and yeah, just general chats about that. So yeah, it was good, I think, when he came back to the FAI. That's how it kind of works in this kind of business as well, of football administration. People do move around, as we know. And yeah, I think he'll do a good job with this. They have said, as they have with the manager a kind of recruitment process, that they're going to kind of now look into getting a permanent CEO in place. So that will be interesting to see how that develops, and whether this guy is going to actually be a candidate for that will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they're going in with an open mind, according to reports, that if the guy wants it and he performs well as interim CEO, you know, the job could be his. I mean, sure, what could go wrong with an interim CEO getting the job, eh?
Yeah, I mean, look, we often say, you and I, don't we? We say that we absolutely love Noel Mooney. Of how he's engaged so well with the Welsh fans, you know, understanding the culture of the country, the language, the importance of that. He's embraced that really well. Now, to be a football administrator, you have to be a politician. Noel is very much that. Other people are as well. I think that's where the failure of Jonathan Hill was very key for me.
We'll get back to possible candidates, actually. We'll get back to Noel in a second. I just want to talk a little bit about Jonathan Hill and a little bit about his time. Now, of course, we know he was under fire, especially after the PAC, the Public Accounts Committee, in February, where he absolutely, let's be honest, he shit the bed. And he shit the bed badly. I think it was a bit, I don't know, from what I got, it was a bit of arrogance about the man. Probably thought, I'll go in and show these guys, you know. I've got us into this mess, I'll get him out. No. No, he didn't. I mean, I don't like to see anyone lose their job unless it's just utter incompetence. You know, I am a human being, but I would struggle to feel sorry for Jonathan Hill. I think his time as CEO, I mean, here was the guy, Martin, that was brought in. Basically, he had a very simple mantra. Don't be John Delaney. Mm. And in some ways, it was worse. Because he was brought in to be nice, simple, a bit boring, a bit dull. Just be diligent. Do your job. Get it done. Don't cause any problems for us. We need a cooling down period. We need just a period of calm. We don't need anything spectacular from you. Just be diligent. Just run the organization properly. And then we'll take it down. We'll see where we are in a few years' time. And he actually, the guy that was brought in to be nice, boring, and simple, found himself at the center, and I said this last year, at the center of controversy and the center of a storm, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, without doubt. I think when he came in, it's interesting you said the words, don't be John Delaney. I think he kind of had to be a bit more like John Delaney. I think that's where he's failed. John Delaney was involved with everybody, and John Delaney worked the room, right? But he did. He went around shaking. I think what Jonathan Hill should have done, I've heard this from, it was actually Ed Chamberlain. I think I might have said this before. Ed Chamberlain, when he left Sky as a Sky TV Sunday presenter, and he went into ITV horse racing. He was on gardening leave from Sky. He was then going to be producer of this new ITV horse racing show. But he took 6 months to go around shaking hands, meeting people within the industry. Jonathan Hill didn't engage with supporters groups very well. He didn't work and understand the nuances of Irish football enough. And I think he didn't do enough of that shaking hands. Didn't do enough fan engagement. Didn't understand really what he was coming into. It's fine to come in low key and be an administrator and be very distant from that. But I think that is damning for you when people don't understand actually what you're doing.
He never took to the job, I don't think. I don't think his heart was really in it.
No, he was never engaged. No.
I mean, the fact that he still never moved over, he was supposed to move over. He couldn't move over during COVID. Fair enough, we'll give you that. And then he went, you know, I can do this remotely. And no, I take your point with the whole, what I mean, obviously, you know what I mean when I say don't be John Delaney. Like, just, do the politicking, but don't do the controversy. Don't do all that stuff. And run the FEI like your own little fiefdom. Allegedly. Don't want to get sued again.
His performance in front of the Oireachtas, though, I think that was just a man who wasn't bothered by then. He didn't care. The consequences of that performance was going to be that he was going to be out of the job within 6 months. I genuinely think he didn't care. I've seen him around the hotel on match days and things like that. He's very distant now. Like before, he would have spoken to people and stuff. He just seemed like a dead man walking, to be very honest. I don't think his heart was in it. I think he knew what was going. I think had lost the faith in him.
When you show up to Oireachtas with this email, fully redacted, say, here's my evidence, I swear. Yeah, absolutely shambolic.
That is very similar to what
we have the unredacted one.
But that's very similar to what John Delaney did. He turned up and he had a pre-read thing. Yeah. He did something so catastrophically wrong that undermined his role and faith in him that people are going, they've got a question, what's this guy hiding? Actually, this guy is incompetent. Okay, the FAI must have just turned around after that, the board, and gone, I can't believe he did that. Let's make him accountable when he'd be gone in 6 months. And that's what's happened.
Let's just remember, like, he went to the... So, in case, you know, just a quick refresher, because we do get that sometimes on the YouTube channel. Lads, I don't know what you're talking about. I live in Australia. Fair enough. But basically, yes, he was played. He is paid the same amount as a minister. And basically, he cannot go over that amount. And he jokingly asked if he could have his holiday that he was owed paid, which is not allowed in the FAI. And he went, yeah, we can do that for you. And he went, perfect. In case you're wondering, here is the email so I don't get sued. That's the email explaining that. Perfect. Please pay me my holiday pay. And he basically said he knew nothing about it and then went, oh, to the Oireachtas, oh, it was a joke. It was a joke. Yeah. I swear it was a joke, which is, in my opinion, complete nonsense. And then basically, yeah, he didn't notice that 12 grand or whatever it was going into his accounts. And it wasn't until Sports Ireland, because part of the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, the Sports Ireland have to go in and give an independent audit of the FAI. Like, just they have to do their own thing just to make sure that they're staying between the lines, that they're, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he went, what's this about? Oh, I didn't notice the 12 grand going into my account. In my opinion, that's bollocks. I know when 12 pounds has gone into my account, never mind 12 grand. And basically he went over his allotment, shall we say, his wages that he's legally allowed, that he's legally entitled to. You can't go over that. The FAI also don't, I think they carry forward holidays, but don't pay them. And, you know, members of his staff, and I'm going to get onto that in a second, there's a bit here from Dan McDonald in The Independent, and we're like, hold on a second, we don't get paid for our holidays. Why does he? And just a bit on that, actually, and this is a quote here from Dan McDonald's piece in The Independent. What was particularly excruciating was Hill confirming that his pay had risen by 47 grand to a figure of 258,000 euros per annum over the course of his four-year tenure. He was entitled to point out to the FAI had awarded him a contract that included the provision and this pay would go up in line with the Secretary General rates in government departments. But again, it created the impression that it was one rule for the CEO, one rule for everyone else. And just to continue, lowly paid staff represented by SIP2, whose take-home pay would be minuscule compared to Hill, have been fighting for collective bargaining agreements. Funding is a problem and at all levels of the sport, with budgets tightened across various departments. Yet this guy was getting 258 grand to basically sit at home and show up when it was a match day. I think disgraceful. And it makes me angry, Martin. It does make me angry because Irish football is just fine to sell. We're 5 years down the line from the John Delaney era where he was ousted. It just seems like we haven't gone anywhere. Like we're just back at square one again. It just seems to be one crisis to the other, doesn't it? We're just sleepwalking into one crisis after another.
It is, and it just disappoints everybody, to be honest. And people lose faith in football administration, lose interest in the FAI, and think it's just a corrupt organisation. And you know, we've had people saying, "Oh, let's just disband it." I don't agree with that at all, to be honest.
Why? But
I don't think you can do that. I think once you go down that route, and I don't think it needs that. Like we've kind of had a rebrand of it with that. That's what they were trying to do with the new logo and everything like that.
Do you not think though that it's now time to just clear it out completely? Because I mean, we needed 5 years. Okay, we're 5 years post John Delaney. We needed 5 years of sunlight. You know, sunlight is the best disinfectant, isn't it? Of sunlight, just get in, clear out all the bad toxins, get rid of it all. 5 years later, we're in the same situation. They've no money. They were dragged in front of the Oireachtas. They went to the PAC in February, where basically to talk actually about, listen, we need 863 million euros for Irish football because it's that much in the doldrums. Can we have half a billion quid, please? They never even got to that, Martin, because of this guy, because of what happened with his holiday pay. I mean, the government don't like, there's a history where the government, where members of the government don't want to give football in Ireland any money. And they're just helping. Like, they're basically just shooting themselves in the foot constantly. 5 years later, we've gone nowhere. They don't seem to have learned any lessons.
No, but it's just a constant battle, and it always has been for the FAI to get that money out of the government. So that's not changed. Okay, the government are probably going to give them less now because they're losing confidence in it. It was a whole kind of redemption kind of aim to get someone in there who was going to do it. It just proves that we've made a mistake bringing in Jonathan Hill. Now, people will say, well, he did okay. The debt's come down a bit. We were too long getting a sponsor involved, without a doubt. That was a failing of him, I think. We've also had the manager debacle. We've had the issue with, and I'm not going to solely blame this on him, but, you know, we have had the thing of Mick should have probably been allowed to do the playoff and didn't because they had to honour the contract. Again, that's part of a legacy of the agreement that John Delaney had bringing in Stephen Kenny as the under 21 manager and keeping to that. We had the situation with Robbie Keane taking money out of the association. Again, contractually entitled to do so. We've had the Vera Powell thing. I think that was the thing that, for me, I was just thinking, why is Jonathan Hill getting so involved? He's obviously too big here. That was very Delaney-esque of I'm involved in a management kind of situation. I think I was a bit, I'm kind of holding my judgment on Mark Canham and his involvement in that. And I know that some people are calling for Mark Canham to go. I don't think, I'm very sorry to see Jonathan Hill go. I think I do want to see a good CEO who's going to understand Irish football and do what I said. They've got to get involved, understand the nuances of Irish football. With regards to Mark Canham, I think we've invested too much now into the pathway. Well, and I don't think we should be calling for him to go at
we'll
all.
We'll get to him in a second. We'll get to him in a second because that's going to be the other part of the podcast. But
Can I just say one other thing just about the board, though? So you've got to remember the board structure. Like people, like clear out of the board. The board is voluntarily in place. They're not paid, right? Paddy Bond is not paid to be on the FBI board, right? You get expenses and stuff. Now, I do have reservations on some of the members of that board. We're in this woke kind of generation now, aren't we, where we have to have representation of, for example, equality and things like that and different, you know, so women are represented on it. No problem with that. If you want to go down it, but get people on their merit. Yeah, not just because they've done something here and there. We've had too many people headhunted out the FAI as well. We've had, you don't know who's leaving and who's coming in. We've got loads of interims, basically.
We don't even have marketing. We don't even have marketing and communication.
No, exactly. And again, so we're at a very, very low ebb in Irish football. But I don't, again, as you know, I'm Mr. Positive, aren't I? I think we're very low, but I think we've got to push on and try and find a solution to it. They've got to get this CEO right now. And I think it probably has to be,
do you know,
a name that people are going to trust.
Do you know what annoys me? Is that Irish football, and I was saying this to a couple of lads here yesterday, is that it's the perfect storm. It's the perfect storm. It's either incompetence, corruption, meddling politicians, bad luck, bad timing. You know, we got this guy in. He was the first permanent CEO after John Delaney. The guy that we should have had in was Noel Mooney, as he touched on earlier on, and we love Noel. When Noel Mooney was made interim CEO, he was the guy brought in from UEFA in 2019. And with the UA, like with the FAI completely in crisis, like even worse than they were today. And let's not, it's very easy to forget that, but they were really, really, they weren't even bottom of the barrel. They were through the barrel. They were on the floor. And essentially, they were going to use a handbook given to them by UEFA to basically how to get yourself out of this trouble. And the man who wrote that handbook was Noel Mooney. Yeah. And they wanted him to become the permanent CEO. And Shane Ross, who was the Minister for Sport at the time, who was caught with his pants down, not literally, but in 2018 was on Off the Ball, basically going on how wonderful John Delaney was, how brilliant he is. I've never heard a thing about him, any League of Ireland match I've gone to, which I doubt he went to any, to be honest with you. Oh, no, John Delaney's a great fella. That audio is out there somewhere. I'm sure I have it somewhere. I hadn't got a clue. Then it all came out around March 29th. That was like November 2018. Came out in March 2019, around Paddy's Day, I think it actually was, where basically we knew about this with John. We knew about this, but Ireland's stringent libel laws meant that you couldn't write about it. And essentially, he went the other way then. Because he thought, oh, well, I've been embarrassed here with the FBI. And then he's like, no, Noel Mooney, you gave credit to John Delaney when you were visiting from your wife. That's it. You know, even though you were fired by John Delaney, which I think he was let go in a lot of redundancies, even though you're fired by him, you had massive rows with him. Oh, no, you need to go. So he went the other way. Because of that decision, we got Hill. When Mooney, and what people have to remember is in 2019, when Mooney came in, the first thing he did was, and it's in Champagne Football, because the PFAI and the FAI share offices in Abbottstown, and basically it was like an invisible Berlin wall between the two. They weren't allowed to talk to each other. And first thing he does, he walks into the PFAI offices. How's it going? Let's have a coffee. I'm Noel. How are you doing? He starts healing those bridges. He goes on Twitter and basically starts unblocking people that were blocked by the FAI for criticizing, now at the behest of John Delaney, criticizing John Delaney and the association. And he started, my point is, he started healing. He started healing and he was engaging or whatever. I reached out to him. I reached out to him on Facebook and got an interview with him and had a chat. And he was very open and he was very transparent with me. He engaged with people. And, you know, with Jonathan Hill, he just never did. And because of the meddling of a politician who didn't have a clue, let's be honest, Shane Ross, we lost out on this guy. And now he's doing really well over at Wales. And we were stuck with Jonathan Hill.
Yeah, Jonathan Hill, who, you know, eventually then they co-led this, you know, UEFA bid, didn't they, for Euro 2028, which we've got. But that's not on the back of anything.
Nobody opposed it.
No, exactly. So
I was not opposed.
You can't get credit for that for me. And I just don't. It just saddens me in a way that there was no engagement with the supporters groups. Now, you could argue, what do we need to do that for? But I think you do, because they're the people who go to matches, ultimately buy the tickets, buy the merchandise. People have been very frustrated at the lack of engagement with supporters groups, because, you know, even the Castore deal, it just seems loads of stuff's going on, and it doesn't take into account the views of the fans. And that's why you then have this negative expression from the fans. Like, you know, no one's happy with Castore, but they never engage with us to say that. So whereas they should have said, well, what do you want then? What do you want?
Sky on the shirt.
Okay, we want this. Yeah, sky on the shirt. You've got all no these option. Things. I think things happen by chance, really. And I'm not sorry to see him go. But
there's no buzz. There's no buzz in international football. I went over there, Martin, and it could have been any other day. It could have been any other day over in Dublin. Right, there was no buzz around it. The launch was poorly handled. You go on about Castore, you're absolutely spot on. Nobody wanted Castore. Even when he flew the kite, that it could have been Castore, everyone was like, God, no. All you had to do was go on Lansdowne Road. All you had to do was go on Lansdowne Roar. I'm sure, you know, the reaction to on those pages was like, Jesus, there's a bit of a backlash here, lads. Maybe we need to rethink this and try to get a deal with Adidas. Now, I don't know what was offered money-wise, and I don't know what was, you know, what if Adidas even wanted to do it. But in my opinion, you get Adidas on board, you go with a whole range of retro stuff, and you'd clean up. You'd absolutely clean up, in my opinion. But League of Ireland now, the League of Ireland is on top in Ireland. I went over there, and there wasn't one Irish player, football player, on any sort of merchandise, Ballygown or anything like that. That's alien to me, to be honest. You always had some player like Evan Ferguson, the shining light. You don't have him on anything. You've got rugby players on Bally. You got rugby players all over the place and Gaelic players, but you have nothing with the Irish football team. There's no buzz. The League of Ireland now is alive and well, although there's no money to give it much needed facilities. And it just seems that the energy that used to go into the international team now has dwindled, and now is going into the League of Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, and League of Ireland is definitely there. That you
been
can,
running to the ground.
It was the second thing you can try and get going. Again, I think that's what you need to understand, though, is that someone really needs to come in and just take a hold of that. And I know there's been talks in the past, you know, of, you know, kind of enterprises to come in and kind of franchise that to say, right, we'll handle that. Just let us do it, FAI. Don't have to worry about your senior football. Perhaps that is needed, because that's the way you're going to get the investment. I don't think we can trust the FAI to ever do that, to be honest. So and don't let them do that. Give it to someone for 10 years and try and make a business out of it, like Sky did with the Premier League in a way, right? So that's not your problem. I know I didn't call it the problem child, someone else did. But it has been called that in the past, but let that happen, right? And then just concentrate on the senior football. And that's one of the points about you can't disband is, there's lots of other teams apart from the senior. Okay, the high profile thing's the senior team. But you've got to remember all that in the background. There is a lot of good and there's a lot of structure in place. So you don't have to massively undo it all. It just needs to be the right man as a CEO.
There's a lot of
the board have to probably be a bit more accountable. What I'd like to see now is, I know people are saying, well, we're going to appoint a manager and blah, blah, blah. And even now, since this morning, it was all linked that it could be like Chris Hughton now coming in, because they're thinking that that's more likely. If they're not going to appoint a manager till the summer, we know then they need a manager for two games.
Well,
they're going back to John O'Shea again. It's a bit ridiculous. Well, one thing I would say just on Hill, though, right? What annoyed me with it, again, and with the FAI all being a bit of a mess, the women's football, we had a fantastic World Cup experience in a way that we got there. And from actually qualifying, and then even the Rebel song in the dressing room and making the players accountable for that, from then, it all went a bit negative and it's all gone a bit downhill from then. Even that, them games last week, right, we've got attendances at them, but the profile, kind of publicity around it wasn't at the level I think it should be. They got great numbers.
No marketing. No marketing director.
You know, they didn't even announce the. They seem to. It's very disjointed. The FAI. They don't do. Didn't do a press conference and a media announcement the way they normally would. Eileen Gleeson didn't do that as Vera Powell did in the past. I think if you're trying to raise that profile of, and you do it as we have it with had it with Stephen Kenny with the press conference, Eileen didn't do that. I think there's just a lot of negativity away about the women's, and I would blame that on the kind of situation of how it ended with Vera Powell. A lot of people were very annoyed with that. A lot of people are very negative to Kate McCabe over that as well. We haven't heard the full story of that, but I think, you know, that I didn't like, that would be my only negative thing at the moment in my head about Mark Canham, because I'm just probably too trusting. I didn't like how that ended with Vera and Mark Canham's involvement in that.
Well, let's move on. I just want to say also about the FEI is that before we move on, it's all FEI, isn't it? But there are some really good people in the FEI, and I feel for them. I genuinely feel for them. They're doing the best. You know, I think the social media aspect of it has really improved tenfold over the last, you know, they're trying to get engagement with the players, and they're doing, you know, little things like, guess the submarine or whatever it's being called, just stuff like that, you know, trying to get the younger audience involved. And stuff like that's brilliant. But they need help. They need help from the top, and they haven't been getting it. And unfortunately, that's ruining football, that lack of leadership. And they need to sort it out. And they need to sort it out pronto. They have 5 years after John Delaney. Okay, the debt's gone down a little bit. Fair enough. Whoop-de-doo. A bit of diligent running of an organization. You should be able to get the debt down. You know, you had big crowds coming through the gates, even during Stephen Kenny. But they need to sort it out, because time is running out. This is a great opportunity now. The League of Ireland's cooking. The women's team is growing in popularity, albeit under a bit of a cloud over the Vera Powell situation. But they need to, you know, this cannot be another missed opportunity. They need to sort it out, get the trust of the people, get the trust of the government, get that money in from the government, and start funding it where it needs to go, funding that money in where it needs to go. But we'll
just a question. Interesting you saying that, like the League of Ireland's cooking, right? Do you think the League of Ireland is more popular now than the senior international team?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it is.
So, because that's what it is. People have fallen out of love with the team, basically, the international football.
And that's because of the FEI.
Yeah.
That's because of the FEI, where I think now because of everything that's happened in the last 5 years, that turbulence over the last 5 years and beyond, let's be honest, we knew what was going on in the John Laney year. We just couldn't write about it. There was banners about it. Oh, you know, I didn't know, Jane Ross, I didn't know about this. Well, if you had just opened your eyes and listened, you would have. Yeah. But anyway, real anger coming through. I am angry. I'm very angry, because I could do a podcast on missed opportunities through the years of meddling politicians. Aircon Park, for example, Bertie Heron, but we won't go into that because we'll be here all day. But I think now, because of all of that, where people are going, do you know what the League of Ireland's ours? The fans have taken ownership of the League of Ireland. Nothing to do with the FAI. The fans have taken ownership of the FAI. Sorry, of the League of Ireland and the owners of those clubs. They have taken ownership, and that's why it's thriving. It's almost two fingers to the association, which it shouldn't be the case, but it just seems to be like everything seems to be in spite of, you know, in Irish football. Oh, in spite of them, we're going to do this. And it's what's driving on. I think the energy, because I think the Irish international team always felt like it was ours. And I think over the years it was, in spite of the FAI, we're going to support the boys in green because they're ours. Mm. And now I think that energy has, in the younger generations come along, has now gone into the clubs. It's like, nah, forget about them. They're, you know, this club is our club. I can walk 5 minutes down the road and I can watch League of Ireland football and I can support this and I can go see it every day. And I'm not spending a fortune going to England. I'm not spending like 100 quid on a shirt or X amount on the Sky package. And I think, yeah, COVID as well, as Nick would say, really hammered home the importance of live events and have that taken away. You know, you can go down the road and you can watch Pats or Rovers or wherever you are. In most cases, not all cases, no, we don't have enough clubs in the country, which hopefully is something that's going to change. But yeah, sorry, it's a long-winded answer to your question. But yeah, League of Ireland is much popular, far more popular than the men's team. Anyway, we're moving on. Also, that was another report that's come out in the Irish Examiner by John Fallon. It said apparently there's going to be further delay to appoint a new manager of Ireland. It's now believed the arrival of the new manager will be in the summer. It doesn't give a reason for it. It just says that Wednesday, there's going to be an update for the board, and Mark Hannum is going to turn around and say to the board, we don't have a man of manager until the summer. Now, we don't know how true that is. We don't. So just take that with a pinch of salt. We'll find out on Wednesday. But I will say this, Martin, if that is the case, then surely that would make Mark Hannum's position maybe not untenable, but serious jeopardy, because it would just be a complete, like, what have you been doing for the last few months?
Yeah, but I think it's just, I don't think it does make it untenable. And I know that might be strange to some people that I'm saying that. What I've seen of this whole recruitment, we've missed many opportunities. There's obviously missed the first choice person, which we believe was Carsley. They have obviously cast the net far and wide. The fact that we've heard that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was kind of spoken to in January. There was rumours last night about Steve Bruce getting the job, came in the betting, which again, the market won't move from a lot of money, to be honest. But now this morning, Chris Hughton's been linked with it. So I think, though, you know, this whole thing of the Hill factor, which we can call it that perhaps, it has impacted on the whole recruitment, because Hill was part of the group factor with Paki Bonner and also Mark Hannum, who were interviewing people, apparently. Contractually, we were told that there was delays with some of these people. I think that's not actually valid anymore, that contractual thing, because I think that was related to their first choice, who they obviously didn't get. So now they have had to reset it and go back. What I think should happen is the board should obviously be updated on Wednesday. I'd like to see, though, I'd like to see a figurehead of the association, not necessarily David Carell, because I think he's coming to it new, unless he's confident enough to do so. But I'd like to see a press conference with Paki Bonner, Mark Hannum, and David Carell, for example, sitting up there and being held accountable for what's going on, so that they do actually engage with the public and give us some factual information of this, because I think it is disheartening to Irish fans. We've done weeks of episodes on, oh, there's going to be a manager appointed next week. We've been accused of clickbait. We're obviously just reporting the news. The journalists are very frustrated as well. I think there's a big level of disharmony now between the Irish fans, losing interest in it, to be honest. The fact now it's going to be summer. Okay, just explain that. Like, we'll understand that. You know, it hasn't worked out fine. I think they can shift some of the blame on it to, we've had a lot of issues in the background administration-wise. You know, I keep referring to when I've seen, I actually seen Paki Bonner and Mark Hannum. They're quite close-knit company a little bit. They're obviously working together quite closely on the recruitment process. I saw Hill away from that, to be honest. I didn't really see him engaging with them too much. But, you know, Mark Hannum and Paki Bonner walking towards the ground, you know, travelling together. They're doing a lot of work, I think, for the FAI, which is their job, of course. But I think that's where this has been going in the background. The faith was lost with Jonathan Hill. I know I'm sounding like an apologist for the FAI here, but they are, but I think it is important to kind of reflect that, you know, it's not worked out ideally. They have to get it right. Like, do we want an interim manager? Do we want Chris Hughton coming in and he's not actually first choice? Do they have to reset it? Like, is there a rush to get someone in before the summer? There's probably not now. Not if they think that there's a possibility of someone contractually coming in January in the summer.
I'm sorry, that won't do, Martin. That won't do. I mean, I know you missed the positive note. That won't do, right? The first round, and I said it, the first round of games, fair enough. You know, if you deliver somebody really good, you know, or one of your top targets, you never, very rarely get your top target, okay? We're not a top-tier team. That, you know, they have to cut a cloth accordingly. I get that. But no. If they come out and they say, no, we won't have one to the summer, heads have to roll, that's not good enough. It's not good enough, Martin. Then they should have just given it to John O'Shea. Have done with it. This is further damaging Irish football. It's shit like this that's damaging Irish football, if that is the case. Now, we have to wait till Wednesday. But no, I'm sorry. I mean,
we are invested with Mark Hannum, though, with the pathway thing. And, you know, they've got an easier get out. Like, the Hill's gone now. They can kind of eventually just filter it through that, look, we didn't have any faith in this guy. We're going to have a new CEO. It's not worked out. That was kind of really obstructing the process. Even they could say, well, this is a valid argument, right? You know, for managers who have been approached for this could go, you're a shit show in the background. Like, what's going on? Like, I don't want to be a head coach of an association where I don't really know who's in charge here. And this was a performance, and there's, you're never going to have the faith of the fans. You're not going to have the support of people because this is going on in the background. And now they can say, well, actually, that was a problem. We've got rid of that now.
If
this is it. You know?
The only thing, if they do go to summer, right, and the only thing that could save them right now is that they, if they unveil the Carsley, and then they won't be able to say it. They won't be able to say it because I'm sure there's some sort of NDA and I'm sure there's some sort of legal litigation or whatever. But if you come out with it with a top target and who had previously pulled out of the race, like not Chris Coleman, not Neil Lennon, not even Solskjaer, and that would say, okay, it wasn't, it was actually the other fella that's gone. Mm. Now, they wouldn't, they can't say that, but you'd know. Be a wink and a nod, you know. Fair enough. Yeah, I take your point on that. But, it, you know, is it a case of, and we're going over here, I know, we're going long in this episode, you are. But is it a case of the reason why we haven't heard any leaks or whatever is because there has been nobody?
I still think it's an attractive job. I just think there is this
thing in the
background.
But you would, Martin, though.
No, yeah, I would. But
I don't mean that disrespectfully, but you're a big Ireland fan, whatever.
No, yeah, like, I know that, yeah. But I think, you know, who wants it? Who do we know wants it? Like, John O'Shea wants it.
Yeah.
Right, but then that's an opportunity for John O'Shea to be a manager, and he's given us his ambition with that. We know Steve Bruce probably wants it. Neil Lennon openly said, I want it. We don't know if Chris Hughton wants it, but he's linked, obviously, with it.
Well, his name's coming around
Lee Carsley,
again today.
We wanted Lee Carsley because we thought that's a brilliant opportunity and he's an up-and-coming coach. All these other people we've spoken about, we don't know of any of them. No one's actually thrown their hat in the ring and said, yeah, I definitely want it and I want to have a chat with it. You know, they've said they've cast their net far and wide. You know, this pathway, again, it just seems the FAI is in such a mess that they can't multitask. So they can only do the women's team this week. Then the next week is, oh, it's the pathway launch. We don't want to overshadow that. You know, my only worry with Mark Canham is if it's the thing that's stopping people being appointed or taking the job is because you're insisting on your backroom staff. I don't know really any other association who does that. But then we are cutting our cloth accordingly because we have no money to put into that. So we do need to go out maybe and look at a benefactor for that. I think that is now something that they maybe are exploring.
Maybe so, but we don't know. But here's the thing. No. Why, in the name of God, are you throwing out deadlines? Yeah, why exactly. Why
that's
say February?
Yeah.
Big time. Why have you said February? You know, and then you think, well, hopefully we'll get somebody in before the March games. Why April? Early April. We're now into mid-April. Still nothing.
If they appoint an interim now for these summer games, right, June, surely they've got to go back to John O'Shea. And that's even a little bit like tail between the legs. Surely they have to have the continuity for the players to say, right, look, guys. And again, they're accountable to the players and say, now the players won't give a shit probably, but they're accountable to them to say, look, the first choice person we had in mind here isn't available. We're still going to try. We've still got two or three people, candidates in mind. We're going to have to bring tail between the legs, basically, going back to John O'Shea and say, we don't think you're good enough for the. We don't want to put that pressure on you as well, how they're going to have to sell it to him. So we don't think you're good enough to get the job full time, but will you come in now and be interim manager again? Otherwise, you're going to another interim manager and you're expecting Ireland fans to go to that game in June against Hungary and then travel in numbers. I mean, they've just opened up their applications process for the away game.
I mean, I'm going to that. But look,
it's just nonsense, isn't it, though? Like, and you're expecting to sell. We don't know how they're going to even sell tickets. Is that Hungary game as part of a, and it's, you know, all right, 2 months away, well, 6 weeks away, the Hungary game, is that part of a package then with the September game with England or wherever it is? We don't know yet, and they get that wrong. So, but they don't seem to be able to multitask and know what they're doing.
Well, here's
and
the
who's
thing,
making
right?
decisions now? That's the thing we don't know.
Well, we hope David Carroll. But here's the thing, right? So imagine you were the manager and you turn around and say, right, we won't have a manager now. We have an interim manager for the June games, right? Season's done. Next game, 7th of September against England. We're going to get battered by them. Because you're going to have a manager then. If you do have a manager, maybe you might have another interim manager, who's going to go in there, won't have been able to work, talk to any of the players because they're all off-season, won't be able to watch any of the players, have no preparation whatsoever for the Nations League. We are going to get absolutely spanked in that. It's poor. Whoever goes in, excuse me, if they don't announce somebody here on Wednesday, whoever goes in is going to be set up for failure. Going to get, and then that's going to cause more anger. More people are going to be angry. Or they go to the England game because you want to watch England, let's be honest. It's going to cause more anger amongst the Irish fans. It's poor, Martin. I'm sorry. If they don't announce a manager on Wednesday, or if there's another delay, it's going to look desperate, and it's just going to cause more anger, and more people are going to go, do you know what? Fuck it. I've had enough of this. What's happening?
Why am I going to spend money on it? Why am I going to go and do it? And that is going to happen. There'll be a drop off in the support with that, just because people's frustration with the FAO will come through.
Rightly frustrated.
I'd like to see Canham up front and centre. I'd like to see a press conference. I'd like to see people being accountable for decisions or to explain themselves. And I'd like to see the manager unveiled. I've no problem. I think if they turned it round and tried to put a spin on this of appointing John O'Shea, I'd have no problem with it, because I think it would just end all the rubbish, basically, and speculation. Just give it to him and say, we're trusting this now. This is where we're going with it. Get behind the team. Let's just all be positive going forward. I think if they do it with Chris Hughton, I think it's a little bit different, because I think I would think he's not been the first choice, unless they say he always was contractually gone up, blah, blah, blah. He is in the role.
I mean, I,
anyone else though, if they delay it, it means that Chris Hughton, they've got to explain why people haven't been appointed.
Well, look, I still think it's going to be Chris Hughton, and you know, we don't know. Obviously we don't know. We'll find out Wednesday. Apparently there'll be an update in the board, but they don't announce anybody.
There'll be more leaks. He's on gardening leave.
With Chris Hughton, if they come out and say, look, obviously he wasn't their first choice. Lee Carsey was. Chris Hughton comes out and he's invited as a manager. I go, do you know what? Okay, I get it. I understand. It's diligent appointment. And Mark Hannum, basically, you know, he claws back a bit of that trust. But if they don't have any manager this week, after saying his words, Martin, you have to remember his words. You know, no one's turned around and say, so, you know, they put two and two together. Oh, so you mean early April? No. He said early April. We're now into mid April.
Yeah.
So it's his words. But anyway, whatever happens, we will be with you all the way here on State of Play. I'm sure if there is a managerial announcement, we will be going live here on Facebook and YouTube. Sorry, I think I've got hay fever, actually. Never had hay fever before. Maybe I'm just allergic to my rabbit. But anyway, we're going to leave it there, Martin. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, a very passionate, impassioned State of Play. And thank you very much for watching. I'm David Dunn. He is Martin Prendergast. And this has been the State of Play. We'll catch you down the road.